Want to gain an edge in international markets with foreign currency exchange? At Associated Bank, we've got you. We can assist you in obtaining or converting foreign currency and managing the exchange risk to your advantage. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're here with David Fowler, SVP of Capital Markets at Associated Bank, and our thought leader chair again. David, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you very much for having me back.
Before we get underway, I want people to remember what it is you do. Give us a thumbnail of your responsibilities.
Sure. I work in the Capital Markets Group, where we provide solutions for our clients in the areas of foreign exchange, interest rate derivatives, and energy derivatives. We have people who are on the advisory side, and I am on the execution side, so I actually face the bank to the other banks in the around the world and other investment companies.
Your exposure is a lot of hardcore international investors, right?
Yes, it is. It is, and also corporations and everything in between.
We have talked before on our conversations here about Brexit. That's well underway now, and I saw this headline and wanted to get your impression of it, because there's been a lot of questions about whether or not this is really going to work or not. And that was the question in the headline, even in the story in the New York Times. What if Brexit works?
Well, it would be great if it does. And certainly, let's hope that it does. But it's there's a lot of negotiating to go on between now and December 31st. And certainly, I think it's not going to be an easy path, because there are some fundamental differences in how Britain wants to negotiate a deal and the European Union wants to negotiate a deal.
You know, investors all over the world are watching this, but because we're broadcasting to investors here in the U.S., remind us again why we need to be concerned about this.
Well, the U.S. has, you know, U.S. Corporations have significant exposures both in the European Union and also in the U.K. And certainly a so-called hard Brexit, so one where there is not a trade deal between the EU and the UK, will make economic conditions in the UK, I think, challenging. Certainly, even the government's own projections saw GDP in the UK come off about 6% over the next 10 years, which is significant when you consider that, you know, current GDP is about 1.5% a year. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot. And I think that's one of the areas where, you know, and companies who are looking to invest or already have investments in the UK may need to look at, you know, what their go-forward plan is going to be. Certainly what we've seen so far is that companies like Honda have decided they're going to leave the UK next year. They've had investments in the UK for decades. Nissan is cutting back. Certainly even the even BMW who own Mini are looking to maybe relocate some of the activities in that. So there are already large corporations that are looking to maybe scale back their involvement in the UK. How does that? That may provide opportunities, of course, for new people to come in. And certainly, Boris Johnson is looking to make Britain kind of like the Singapore of Northern Europe, which would be, you know, innovation, technology, low taxes, low regulation. How successful he'll be will be quite difficult. It's difficult to tell at this stage.
I don't have an economics degree, but I know I've been reporting on economics. And one of the things I hear constantly from people who are really smart is that the investment world doesn't like disruptive change. It doesn't like chaos. And it was struck me that one of the economics professors in this New York Times story, his exact quote is, "Disruptive change can be beneficial for a country."
It can be. But you're right. Generally, markets don't like big changes. You know, steady as they go is the, if you're making an investment that's going to last for 20 or 30 years, steady as you go is great news. However, we've seen already, we see in the States, the impact of disruptive change. You know, I came here in an Uber. You know, 5 years ago, I would have come in a cab. You know, that is, Uber and Lyft and these rideshare companies have completely changed how that whole industry operates. You know, we get a lot of stuff delivered to our doors by Amazon. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't go to the shops as much as we did. We see shopping centers closing all the time. So disruption can be really good, but it's always very bumpy. And I think that's the one thing that people are going to be worried about, how dislocated it will be in the beginning. And how long will it take to go from the dislocative stage to the calm, steady as we go approach?
One of the things that investors will be watching very closely is whether or not the trade deals come between the UK, Britain, and Europe, and even with the United States. It doesn't look like neither of those agreements is close.
No, and they haven't got very much time to do it. So Boris Johnson has passed an act in Parliament that will not allow any extension past December 31st. So, you know, they have 11 months, a little less now, to orchestrate a very complicated deal. And I think that's going to be a real problem. And, you know, the British have suggested either a use of a Canadian deal, which already exists, or the Australian deal, which also already exists. But there's one thing I think we need to remember. You know, EU-Canada trade is about 15% of total for each of them. They have pretty balanced trades about that. The UK, half of UK exports up to the up to December 31st anyway, half of UK exports went to the European Union and half of UK imports came from the European Union. So that's a very different dynamic. And the situation with Australia is even smaller. It's a single figure percentage of GDP and a percentage of trade. So to get a comprehensive deal, it's going to be difficult. And the UK has adopted, at least initially, an approach where they want to try to do an a la carte approach. So we'll talk to you about this topic, and this topic. The European Union kind of likes the prefix. You know, we want everything together. And that's going to be difficult. That's a bridge that's going to be difficult to go across.
One of the other interesting parts of this is how travel will be impacted between the, Britain and the European Union and everywhere else. From a business standpoint, if a business person in France is going to have to get a visa every time they go to the UK, I mean, these are the kinds of things that slow down business in a big way, aren't they?
Absolutely. And certainly right now, we don't really know what the program is going to be because nothing has been agreed. I can remember, you know, when I was living in Europe, I can remember having to go through passport control, going to, you know, various countries. And it does just adds on if you're trying to do a business trip in a day to see, you know, five or six people. It makes it just that little more challenging. Certainly, it's going to be the same for, you know, UK, British subjects going into the European Union. Whatever, you know, whatever the rule for the EU will be, they will have a similar rule for UK subjects as well. What I suspect will happen is that, you know, people will be able to get some kind of a work-type visa. Mm-hmm. So multiple entry, you know, so you can kind of get through. But it's still, it's another thing you have to do that you didn't have to do in December.
Investment in the UK, is that a bad idea right now?
I think people should be cautious. And what we're seeing, I was just looking at something yesterday, you know, countries like Portugal now have record foreign direct investment interest. So companies looking to invest in Portugal to get a relatively cheap location in the European Union that may have gone, for example, to the north of England or may have gone to Northern Ireland are now going there because they want that certainty that at least in the European Union, they know how things are going to work. Right now in the UK, they don't. So I think a lot of investors are going to be a little hesitant and maybe certainly I think they would be prudent to wait and see what exactly is going to come out of what kind of a deal is going to be there. And we'll know in less than a year. And a year for foreign direct investment and things like that, a year is like a week. You know, yeah. It's a very short period of time.
David, always good information. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Well, certainly you can always get me on the trading desk, which is the phone number is 866-524-8836 or by email on david.faller, that's david.faller@associatedbank.com.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.